Good evening. So we have been learning about the fruit of the Spirit and the different manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. And tonight we're looking at patience. If you have a New King James Version, other translations, they may translate this word as long-suffering. So the first thing I'd like to do is get started with looking at the context of the fruit of the Spirit, patience within the context of the fruit of the Spirit. Our text is Galatians chapter 5 and 22. This is where we have been picking up these topics. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and so forth. There have been some efforts to explain how the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit, yet when we read this passage, it would seem that there are many fruits or there are many different components of the fruit of the Spirit. Now the clicker is not working. Thank you, Chris. So one attempt that has been made is to flat out not call it the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruits of the Spirit. That is the title of that picture that I found. And they just basically assign a different fruit for each fruit of the Spirit. So it's an easy solution, right, to call it the fruits of the Spirit, but we can't really take that one because when we're reading this passage, it says that it is one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So a different solution to that, which I think is my preferable one, is to think of it as a cluster of grapes, where each grape is one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, but it is still one fruit that grows together. Each cluster of grapes grows together. One more that I think is creative, and maybe it's possibly true, is this one right here. Basically, this is taking that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and every word that follows love is a description of that divine love. So that is another interpretation of this passage. Well, we will take it that these are manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the divine fruit of the Spirit that God wants to mature in all of us as believers. So whatever illustrations we take, a singular fruit is important in the context of the passage. If you look at verses 19 through 21, we have the works of the flesh, and that is plural, right? And these are the works that we get from trying to keep the law on our own, for trying to be self-righteous through the law. Everything that we get in return from that are the works, plural, of the flesh. And then Paul makes a contrast and says, we don't work by the works of the flesh or by our attempts to be self-righteous through the law. We operate through the fruit of the Spirit. Many works and a single fruit. Something else we read in this passage is that the law has no jurisdiction against the singular fruit of the Spirit. It says, against these, there is no law. So there is no jurisdiction over the law over the fruit of the Spirit. But on the other hand, over the works of the flesh, the law does condemn all the works of the flesh. So that is a different, there's another contrast right there. So like any fruit, the fruit of the Spirit has to be understood as a fruit from God. This is something that only God can produce in the life of the believers. And like any fruit, a fruit has to mature. If you have any fruit trees or have been in contact with any fruit trees, you can't just pick the fruit right when it comes out, right? You have to wait until it matures. And ultimately, this is a complete fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is a fruit that is complete. It is a fruit that should be seen as a whole. So tonight we're going to look at patience, as it is mentioned in this passage. So let us keep in mind that this patience is a special manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in us as Christians. Or in other words, this is a divine kind of patience. This is a patience that God is producing within us. So the first thing I like to see here is that patience has a divine purpose. And when we think of patience, inevitably, we get the idea of a sacrifice. It is always a sacrifice to have patience. It is difficult to be patient. And we really welcome sacrifices many times as long as we have in exchange some kind of benefit. For example, if you are into working out, normally you exercise and it is a sacrifice to work out, but the exchange of that benefit is to reach your fitness goals, right? Or if you are a student, if you're going to college, normally you have to spend long hours studying, and the exchange of that sacrifice is that you will graduate and perhaps get the job that you were looking for. But I think the reason why many times I struggle with patients is because I feel the sacrifice when I'm trying to have patients, but I fail to see the benefit. I fail to see the reason why I should be patient. But we should consider in the context of the passage that we just read that patience is the fruit of the Spirit, or is one manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. This means that patience does involve sacrifice, but this sacrifice has a divine purpose. And I just wanted to make that point very clear, because when we think of patience, we just think of suffering, we think of heaviness, but we fail to see that God is working through our patience, through the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, to make something amazing, to have a divine purpose from that patience. So let's try to understand this word patience here. There are usually two words translated patience in the Bible. One of them is hupomone, or that's how you will say it in Greek, I guess. And this one has the idea of enduring circumstances with hope. Barclay says the quality to stand facing the storm. This kind of patience is the patience that you have over events or difficult circumstances. And some examples of this patience is the cross of our Lord. He endured the cross with patience. You can think of the life of Joseph, how with patience he had that dream, and with patience he waited for God to make that dream come true. It wasn't just a dream, it was a revelation from God. You have the story of Job, you have the account of Job, where he has the most difficult circumstances and he endures with patience. So that is one word for patience, hupanome, and that means endurance. But the word that is mentioned here for patience in the fruit of the Spirit is the word to the right, this macrothymia. And this word means long suffering. Actually, in Greek, it's also a compound word. Macro meaning long, and thymia meaning passion or suffering or anger. And it has that idea of withholding our indignation or our passion over time for God's glory. It's not having a short fuse. It is the opposite. It is holding on to that passion, holding on to that anger like God does for us, for the sake of accomplishing his purposes. So with this type of patience, God decides the length of time that it should transpire for it to run its course, because God is working a purpose through this patience. When we are patient, we are working God's purpose. Now, the first patience that we talked about is a patience over events, right? But this particular patience, it is a little bit difficult because this is patience towards people. Long-suffering here is always used towards people, towards others. It is the kind of long-suffering that God has for us. This can be people like our neighbor, a co-worker, a relative, a stranger, but most importantly, our brethren. You experience this kind of patience every day, or you have an opportunity to express this kind of patience every day. How many of you have been in your car in a stoplight and there's somebody right in front of you using their cell phone? And this is one of those long stoplights that doesn't go through very quickly, and you just miss that green light because that person in front of you didn't start the car fast enough. Well, that is patience right there. What about somebody cutting in line? That is one of my pet peeves. You are in line and you've been waiting for a long time and then somebody cuts in line. Or this happens in our potlucks, by the way, but I am patient there. Sometimes you're in line and then somebody's in front of you and they have a family, right? But you see one person and next thing you know, there's five people in front of you because the whole family comes and gathers right next to that person. I have done it myself, so I know you've done it. That is patience too. What about that person at a work meeting? I'm sure you have been in one of those work meetings where it has gone long and everybody's tired and everybody was trying to get home. And somebody raises their hand at the last minute. Is like, can I ask a question? Last question. Okay, well, let them ask their question, right? And then after they answer the question, one more person raises their hand. Well, I do have one more question. Well, that is patience too, right? This is patience towards people. What about that person at your table who takes a salt shaker and never puts it back in the middle, right? You have to keep asking them to give you back that salt shaker, right? What about that person with a different political view that you find on the social media pages? And you take some patience, right, to read through some of those posts and not really react sometimes. Now, these are everyday examples of patience, but if we get a little bit more serious, we can think about things that are a little bit more difficult, right? What about that attitude that I can have towards my spouse that she doesn't think that she deserves or that I don't think I deserve from her? That takes a little bit more grit or patience, right? What about that brother who discounts your ministry or discounts you as a Christian? I'm sure you have come across through one of those before where they know you as a Christian and they always kind of have this, they can always kind of give you this look like, oh, I don't know if you are spiritual as you should be. That takes patience. That takes patience to endure. Or what about that brother or sister who flat out doesn't like you? And I'm not thinking of any of you here, I think. I like you at least, all of you. I hope you like me too. But that does take patience. It is heavy in the heart. It is something where we have to exercise this macrothymia. We don't burst. We don't let our passion flow. We hold it to ourselves. This is the kind of patience that is mentioned here. So the question is, why should I even consider being patient towards people like this? And the reason is because God is at work doing amazing things for his glory. That is the purpose of patience. When we are patient, God is at work. We may not see the result immediately. We may not see it in our lifetime, but God is at work in the life of that person. And if we don't lose our patience, God can work through us in his purposes as well. We're going to see how this is true later in the life of the Apostle Paul. So one of the people, for example, when I think about patience is my dad. As I was growing up as a teenager, I know I wasn't an easy teenager all the time, but he was patient. That doesn't mean he didn't discipline me. That doesn't mean he didn't correct my behavior, but he was very patient. He was very patient. And because of that, God has accomplished great things through his patience with me. If he had lost his patience, perhaps something else would have been happening to me, right? Let's move on to the next point. Patience is essential for divine relationships. His patience here is a patience that is practiced towards people. And that means that this is an element that is essential towards divine relationships. In fact, all the words that we read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, if you pay close attention, they are relational words. They are divine character manifestations essential to our fellowship with God and one another. They are essential character manifestations to our fellowship with God and to one another. So as the fruit of the Spirit grows within us, as God grows the fruit of the Spirit between us, so our fellowship with God and our fellow believers should grow. If we want to have a church with great fellowship, we should develop the fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit should develop his fruit in us so that we can have that kind of relationship in the likeness of Christ. Patience is divine, and I have a quick story to tell you here. My family knows this story. My wife was with my kids the other day. I wasn't there, and I'm glad I wasn't. They were in their car, and they were going to Taco Bell. That's why I wasn't there. I wouldn't go to Taco Bell anyway. They were lined up in Taco Bell. They're on their drive-thru, and my wife is very patient. Let me start by saying that. But she also demands patience sometimes from others. So she was looking for a coupon or something, and you know how it is on the drive-thrus. You really can't hear what they're saying. It seems like they're always hiding something from the menu and you're not really getting the best deal. It is a little bit difficult to be there. And they were taking a long time to put out their order. So there was this guy, this Texan guy, we're all Texans, but there was this guy from Texas in a big truck behind them. And he starts honking at my wife. And he starts yelling all kinds of things that I won't repeat right here. So my wife rolls down the window and she yells back at him, "Patience is divine." And I think that took everybody aback, including my family in the car. And I would probably wouldn't have chosen those words, right? Patience is divine. And guy was probably very confused too, like, okay, I guess I stopped yelling at you or honking at you. It turns out my wife is right. Patience is divine. The patience that we're reading here is a patience that is used of God. This is the patience of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. I'll read it to you. This is used of God's patience in the days of Noah. We are familiar with this account. It says, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. So before the flood, there was divine long-suffering. God was waiting with patience for all those people that were in the days of Noah sinning against him. It says, it describes in the Bible the days of Noah as really dark and wicked days. Days that were doubtlessly incredibly difficult for God to suffer. But God was enduring with long suffering, waiting in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, this is the point where I would like to start to look at some of these attributes of patience, talks about the divine long suffering that brought us salvation. Think about it. Our own salvation is the product of God's long suffering. Neither of us here deserved to be saved. Neither of us here was innocent before God. None of us here were gracious enough to come into the presence of God and be saved. But God was patient. He was long suffering. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has spoken or written to you. So let us look at this example of long suffering leading to salvation more closely to learn what else is included in long suffering. So long suffering, first of all, is willing. I'm going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. To understand how the long suffering of God worked to the salvation of the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering. When Paul was saved, it was because of God's long suffering. He showed through Paul the extent of his long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe in him for everlasting life. So long suffering, first of all, is willing. The long suffering that God had to save the chief of all sinners is the same long suffering that he has to save you and me. And of course, this is a very reassuring pattern for you and me. If God was willing to save the chief of sinners, he's also willing to save you. And he's also willing to save me. That means that you are not that exceptional sinner that God will just not save. He already saved the chief of all sinners. And this is the pattern that he follows. He will also save you if you trust in him as your savior. The only reason why I am saved is because God was willing, because he's long-suffering, because he was willing to have a long-suffering patience with me. So since long-suffering is willing, this means that it reaches down to people where maybe you and I would cross out. Long-suffering reaches out to those whom we don't necessarily want to give a second chance when we think about them. So long-suffering should let us see the loss with divine hope and lead us to reach out especially to those whom we think they don't deserve it. That is the kind of long-suffering God wants to produce in us. Long-suffering also involves waiting. Think about how many years the Apostle Paul sinned and persecuted Christians, and he was a legalist and somebody who thought of himself as self-righteous, living with arrogance before the Lord. We look at that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. We're not going to read it right there, right now, but it tells us how much Paul had sinned against God. But meanwhile, God was waiting for the proper time to lead Paul to repentance. All the years he spent in unbelief, sinning against him, he was patient with Paul. And all the years that we spent in sin, before we knew Christ, God was long-suffering. God was waiting because he was going to save us. He could rightly have condemned us and be done with us, but he was long-suffering. Long-suffering leads to repentance and forgiveness. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "Or despisest you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering," that word again, "not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance." Long-suffering, Paul understood, led him as a murderer of Christians to repent and to find forgiveness in Christ. So our long-suffering should have the aim of being the humble means that God will use to perhaps lead others to repent and be forgiven for the glory of God. Just as God is long-suffering towards us, we have to be long-suffering towards the lost. This includes also believers, of course. We have to be long-suffering towards our brethren too. Those who even sin against us, so that God may have mercy on them and may lead them to repentance. Long-suffering is not depleted. Paul talks about a pattern here. And here in Romans, it says the richness of his grace. So Paul illustrates this long-suffering as something where God is very wealthy at distributing. He doesn't run out of long-suffering. Long-suffering is repeated in every believer who is saved. Yes, even those who are born in Christian families, they need the long-suffering of the Lord. This means that long-suffering in the eyes of God comes from a bottomless barrel. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, he calls us the riches of his goodness. Aren't you glad that his long-suffering wasn't done with the Christian that came to know him before you? There was enough long-suffering for one more, for you and for me. And we have to have the same kind of attitude with our long-suffering. We have to be willing to extend it to the next person. So why should I be patient? Why should I consider being long-suffering an opportunity that God has given me? First of all, God notices our long-suffering. When we are patient, when we are long-suffering towards others, we reflect Christ in our character. And God can see that and say, "Look at my son, look at George. He is long-suffering like my son." That is the kind of character that he wants to see in us. Our brother Sam talked about this the other day. When we approach a fruit, when we come to a fruit tree and we approach a fruit and we actually get to pluck out that fruit, it brings us a lot of satisfaction. It is really a nice thing to come out and pick up that big avocado in Mexico. We have this, and it's always great to pick him out, and you're already thinking about how you're going to eat it, right? It is a great satisfaction when God reaps in us the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sure he has the same satisfaction. This is the fruit of his Holy Spirit yielding in us. When we are patient, God notices our long-suffering. Our witness needs long-suffering. That doesn't mean that we condone sin, but we continue showing kindness to people. We continue to having an attitude that will allow us to share the gospel with that person, even if we don't agree with that person, even if that person has offended us before, we have to keep that door open. God does amazing things or amazing works through long-suffering. Think about the example that we just saw in the Apostle Paul. The riches of his goodness, his long-suffering, is what led him, the chief of sinners, to come to him. And the same was true for us. And lastly, others have been long-suffering towards us. If you think about it, if it wasn't because of the long-suffering that someone had towards you, perhaps you wouldn't have come to know Christ. Somebody had to have patience on you as well. So just as we have been extended patience, we should extend the same patience to others. So finally, some recommendations and applications to help us grow or mature our long-suffering. Put people first. People is more important than any other thing. Of course, God is more important. The Bible is more important. But people are also everlasting creatures, right? They are forever creatures. They are creatures that will live forever. So put people first. I remember a professor I used to have modeled this really well for us. We will have a meal at the cafeteria. And all students will have questions for him. And some of these questions, I'm sure, provoke his patience, right? Or led him to have patience. We were asking him trying questions. But one thing that always impressed me is we were all hungry. We were sitting at the cafeteria, but he would put his fork down. And he would let his food get cold and sometimes give an answer for 20 or 30 minutes without touching his food because he considered that the answer he had to give us was more important than touching his food. That was an example to me of patience. Put people first. Number two, be disciplined. And this one, I thought about it because I think it helps me be patient. When you procrastinate, when you leave work late, like I do many times or most of the times, it's a little bit harder to be patient. When you're running late, it's a little bit harder to be patient with the person that is in front of you. When you have been procrastinating on a project and you really have to finish it on the last minute, it is hard to be patient towards people. But when we are disciplined, when we are not procrastinators, normally when I have time to drive and I'm not really on a rush, it's a lot easier to have patience. So being disciplined actually helps us to be more patient. Give more patience than what you take. We all can think about how patient we are and feel good about ourselves, but we also have to think of how many times we try the patience of others. Let's make a point to not try the patience of others, and let's make a point to extend patience instead of always being that person that needs some patience, right? Pray for those who hate you. That is pretty self-explanatory. This is the Lord's commandment. Pray for those who hate you. This will help you be patient towards them. Pray for the unsaved. I remember this friend of mine, he had a brother and he was not saved. And they prayed for him for many, many years. And sometimes we pray once or twice and we think we want that person to be saved. But sometimes it takes years and years of praying before somebody whom we're longing to come to the Lord comes to trust in Christ. Pray for others and simply just pray. If you need patience, ask God to help you grow in patience. Finally, forgive and seek forgiveness. Patience is all about forgiveness, as we just read in the account of the Apostle Paul. The long-suffering of God towards Paul led him to trust in him and to be forgiven. So our patience should always end with forgiveness. When we are patient towards someone, we should always be forgiving. At the end of the day, if you think about somebody that you're patient towards, and say this person comes to know the Lord, or say this brother comes around and repents on whatever thing is doing, that person is doing to hurt you, the one thing they will remember is whether you had patience or not. And when they look at your patience, they will glorify God the way I think of my dad's patience. And they will say, you know, this person was patient towards me. They were showing me the character of God. And I am thankful for that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for having long suffering towards us. Thank you for your patience in saving me and saving each one of us here. I'm a sinner. And I did not deserve anything from you. I deserved the worst on my own right. But you had patience. And through many failures and through many things that we are not proud of, I can be proud of, Lord, you waited for me. You waited for me to know about Christ and to trust in him. And because you had this patience towards me, you did save me, Lord. So help me, Lord, and help us all, Lord, to be patient towards other people. Help us, Lord, to grow this fruit of the Holy Spirit within us, to glorify you through our patience, because it is your attribute and it is for your glory. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.